Hi, I'm Brian Kilmeade. You can hear me weekdays 9 a.m. till noon on Finger Lakes News Radio. FLX Morning continues now.
And welcome back to FLX Morning. It's 8:36. Time for our visit with our friends from Finger Lakes Health. Laura Turbine is here. Morning.
Good morning, Kyle.
And also joining us this morning is Katie Sherman, who is an athletic trainer. And Laura, I'll let you go ahead and introduce Katie and why she's here today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Always love with Katie being here. We're so happy that not only have we built such a strong rehab program in terms of PT, OT, speech, and other things, but really our program has expanded over the past several years to include athletic training in our area schools and really focus on prevention, injury prevention, making sure that our student athletes get the absolute best care, not just during games, and we can talk a little bit about this, but it's not just during games, but it's actually during practices and things that's so critical. So Katie has been with Geneva. We were just talking about this sort of in the district caring for Geneva student athletes and working with them for about 4 years. We also have folks who work with the Seneca Falls School District as well as the Penn Yan School District and Dundee School District. So we actually have three athletic trainers right now. Yep. So Katie is one of our star athletic trainers. And so she's here because not only does she care for people's student athletes and being such a great partner with the schools and the coaches and the families and parents, and obviously back with her home department in our rehab. But again, with what we've seen with the football injuries and what we've seen with the trainers' reactions recently with the Bills, DeMar Hamlin, I think it became such an essential topical time to talk about why it's so critical, not just for athletic trainers to be CPR trained, but it's really important for the community to be CPR trained. We've talked about that, but how incredibly important it is. I know coaches at certain levels, it is required that they have CPR training as well, right. But there's some legislation right now about expanding that to sort of all sports leagues. But I'm going to let Katie talk a little bit about like what we experienced and why it's so important. Many years ago, we did something in our region a couple different times called a hypertrophic cardiomyopathy screening for young adults. So we've done those kinds of screenings to really try to pick people up early. We've also had the athletic trainers out in our really literally in on the field at practice, creating relationships with these athletes and helping really work through. We've talked about concussion. I think maybe the last time you were here, we might have touched on concussion a little bit. But we're going to talk a little bit more about CPR training as well as some of the other things for athletic training. So thanks to Katie.
Yeah, thanks for having me this morning.
Yeah, much appreciated having you here. Well, let's delve right into it. CPR training is probably the most basic life-saving skill that may be out there that is not just exclusive to people in the medical profession, you know, you as an athletic trainer or nurses or doctors, but anyone can learn how to do this.
Right. Actually, myself and a fellow athletic trainer, we are certified to teach CPR classes. So there are different levels. There's called a Heart Saver course through American Heart Association that is just for the general public. And that gives you the basic skills from infant CPR, which is something you hope you never have to do. But as a parent, even, that's an incredibly important skill to have. So from infant CPR all the way up through adulthood, we also cover basic first aid. And then they also have different levels. We have basic life support. They have different like paramedic classes as well. So you can really go as basic as you want. Just say this is incident that happens at the playground and, you know, you have to help somebody out, or it can be for somebody on the sideline or somebody in the medical field.
And the one thing I want to point out that's probably the most paramount is don't try this at home, meaning that just because you've seen somebody do it on television does not mean you know the right way to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, everybody sees those medical shows and they see everybody hitting the paddles clear, you know, that's not really what the machine is really like. The AED that we train you on is really foolproof. It tells you exactly what to do from start to finish. And even the CPR you see on TV, it's acting. Mm-hmm. So it's much different. Make sure that you know the proper way to do it and attend a class if you can.
And that's an important distinction because CPR training, that involves, you know, what you see, the 1, 2, 3, 4 mm-hmm. on the chest. An AED or a defibrillator, that's a completely different skill set, completely
right.
different requirement, but it does tie in to what we're talking about here, and especially in the athletic realm of, okay, we saw what happened with DeMar Hamlin, so...
And I think, you know, we underestimate how critical is preparedness. Mm-hmm. I think for any one of us who's ever been in an emergency, who's ever been in the moment, you think you know how you're going to respond. You think you know I'm pretty calm in these situations, or gee, I know I'm not calm. Either way, the bottom line is you don't really know how you're going to respond. So the best way to respond is to have that preparation. And if you've actually been, this is why we do emergency management drills in the hospital setting, as well as other things. The more you can make something second nature, and I think that's the critical part about getting trained, is if you've gotten trained, you literally have that. It's almost like, you know, the old riding a bike saying. If you've done it, there is something about instinct that kicks in if you've had that training and knowledge and competence that you can rely upon. So if you're trained in that competency through American Heart Association or some of the other Red Cross and other places that offer this, as well as what we were just talking about, some of the trainers who can then train people, and you have that card and you're carrying it and you keep it up to date, which is critical. Even our staff who works with this every day has a requirement to keep up to date with their skills. And this is why it's so important, because you want to be able to almost rely on it like a reflex in that moment. And again, these AEDs, the good news is in many public settings now, we do have AEDs, and they really do provide sort of a walking you through, partly with that communication that is calm, that is very specific in terms of telling you where to hook things up, when to back off. But that said, it's much more likely that people are going to be in a setting where they aren't with an AED. And therefore, this is the same reason we train kids to learn about signs of stroke. We talk about this very often. If you're the one that sees grandma, you want that child to be able to recognize the signs and rely on that instinct and that reflex together with training. So I think the training is just so critical, and that preparation, and that's part of the role that athletic trainers can play.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that people often don't realize that we do as athletic trainers is create what's called an emergency action plan. And that's for every venue that an athlete at the school might be participating in. And, you know, it goes from everything from where the ambulance would come in, what you need to tell on 911, basic information like the address. When one of the other things we do is delineate roles. If, you know, somebody goes down on the field, obviously I'm the medical professional there, so I'll be doing the hands-on work, but who's running to get the AED? Who's running to meet the ambulance? So we go over that every preseason, and really, like you saw with the DeMar Hamlin case, that emergency action plan ran to a T, and that's why he has done so well. We have the same thing at the high schools. So that's a critical role that athletic training plays that a lot of people don't realize.
Right.
I didn't realize that either. So I'm great to hear that, because we know time is of the essence in these moments. And the more every single decision that you make and every single step that you take can be working towards that consistent goal and reduce that level of fear, chaos, all the things that can come, I think you're much better off. So this is part of, and that's really part of what you do in working with athletes in general. It's not just that emergency plan, but it's working with them to create a relationship throughout. So when there is an injury, there's a trust established, you know that athlete, you know that person and their personality. And I think this is the beauty of having our trainers in the schools and having them not just for a certain period of time at games, but having them be part of that student athlete's life.
Right, exactly. I mean, I have students now, this is my fourth year there, so my seniors are the first group that I've seen all the way through. So seeing them come from freshmen and learning about their bodies and figuring out how stuff works, to seeing how they are now as senior athletes, and some of them taking the next step to go into college level, it's very interesting to see, you know, their knowledge expand, and it's exciting to see what their next steps are.
And it's really fascinating when you kind of crack open the egg here, because being an athletic trainer involves so much more than what we normally see. The only time we see athletic trainers is when they're called out on the field when there's an injury.
Right. I mean, I am there. I get there middle of the day, and I'm seeing students pretty much as soon as I walk in the door. And a lot of it is, you know, kind of the pat on the back, make them a little more comfortable. They could be dealing with stuff at home, it could be an injury, but like we said, we have that relationship, so we understand what's going on. So when an injury does arise, I'm there to help them and kind of guide them along. And then once the afternoon hits, we're running with rehabs. And right now I have a slew of kids that are post-surgical. I have kids that are doing just maintenance rehab. But it's really great, because they're doing great. They're understanding why they need to do these things and get back in the game.
I want to circle back around to the CPR again, because obviously, there's, when you are in place on the sidelines at a game, there is somebody there who is trained. But if anything that we've learned from this DeMar Hamlin incident is that CPR skill could be utilized at any time in almost any kind of situation.
Absolutely. In New York State, all coaches are required to have CPR, AED, and first aid certification, so that's wonderful. That's in the school setting. But your general recreation coach, they might not have to have CPR. So, you know, you're at a YMCA basketball game or you're just at the Y working out.
Right.
Anything could happen at any time. So I really encourage you as just a consumer, when you go into those gyms or you go into the rec center, ask them where their AED is. Ask them, you know, where the emergency exits are even. Something
right.
like that. Just really familiarize yourself with what's going on because anything could happen at any time.
How long does it take to get CPR certification?
So actually, if you do it the traditional way, they've kind of kept up with the times of technology now. If you do it the traditional way, it's about a 3 to 4 hour class. And they're offered all over the place. You can go to the American Heart Association or Red Cross website and just type in CPR classes near me. American Heart Association has now, like I said, kept up with technology, and you can do a course that is a portion online, so you can do that at your own pace. And then there's a hands-on skill check that takes about 2 hours. So you actually go in and practice your skills. So very quick.
Yes, and this is something, like you said, in various environments is an important life-saving skill.
Mm, it is, and such a small investment of time to really gain that competency and to be able to be a resource, regardless of the role you play, regardless. I mean, we've seen it countless times, whether people are in a restaurant, the grocery store, as a playground. Truthfully, knowing that we can rely upon other community members to be able to know what to do in those emergencies and have that type of skill set is just so important.
And it's a good thing, too, if you're in another type of organized sports environment, as you mentioned, you know, a pickup basketball game at a rec center or YMCA. It's kind of important if you're going to participate in this to kind of know what their emergency action plan is and what their protocols are.
Absolutely. Like I said, knowing the exits, knowing where your AED is, if seconds matter in this situation. You know, when Damar Hamlin went down, I think the stat went out that for every 1 minute that the AED is delayed, they have a 10% increase of having a poor outcome.
Right.
So if you're in that moment asking, where's the AED, the clock's ticking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So where do you envision going in your career from this point?
Honestly, I love athletic training. I was at the college setting for a while, and that has its pros and cons. I love the high school setting, like I said, seeing these kids come into their own and understand what they want to do, how they are as an athlete is really interesting. So I really hope to build this program and, you know, continue to do outreach with the community. And
is there a need for more athletic trainers?
Absolutely. There's a need for more athletic trainers. There's a more need across the board for more healthcare professionals. And one of the things that I love, we just did a little story about this that people will see, is some of Katie as well as her colleagues have inspired so much interest as well that there are some students, athletes themselves, who've created their own clubs within the high school arena for thinking about this as a career for themselves. So we do know that it has a ripple effect. They develop those relationships. Maybe those high school students aren't quite sure exactly how they want to plug in, but they see and they realize, oh, this is a job. This is something I could do. I could have these kinds of relationships with students and still keep and maintain my focus on physiology and anatomy and my interest in science, as well as maybe my interest in relationships. So what's beautiful about athletic training is I think it does combine all of those things, as well as there's multiple settings to be it. So absolutely, we need more athletic trainers in this world. We need more athletic trainers locally. We also welcome additional school contracts. If you're out there listening and you're from a different school district that doesn't have this and is trying to figure out a way, we are very, very comfortable working with folks to figure out how do you make this part of your school budget in a way that really just focuses on safety and ensures that your athletes get what they need. And again, we have so many student athletes. When you really think about how many students within a school and with all the other things that we watch on the news that are not always the best highlights and the best stories, these are ways that we can actually engage young people in a positive way and in a way where they have a caring and trusting adult that they see on a daily basis regularly during season, for example, that becomes that extra support system. So I don't want to overspeak for Katie's role, but I think the role they play is so instrumental that I don't know that we can share enough about it.
Yeah. I think an interesting fact is, again, the NATA is the National Athletic Trainers Association, and they've done research over the last 10 years. Only 1/3 of American schools have access to a full-time athletic trainer. And when you think about that, that's pretty astonishing, because it's wonderful that athletic trainers are there for game coverage, but these kids are practicing 10 times more than they in games.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Where's the injury going to happen? More than likely, it's going to be at practice. So to have a trained professional there for anything to happen is really necessary. So if you know have any questions about athletic training, love to talk about it, reach out.
Yeah, sure. How could people reach out if they want to find out more?
You can reach out to Laura. Anybody at Finger Lakes Health, Guernsey Rehab, and we can get connected. If you want to go online, you can look at the National Athletic Trainers Association website, and they really cover everything from professional sports down to working in the public setting with police officers and firemen and stuff like that.
If you're looking to have a contract with your school, or Maureen Loyles, our director of rehab, and she's been on this show many times, and I know she would welcome talking with people because each district is different. So it isn't a one-size-fits-all solution. Each district is different, and really trying to, and we take on the role then of recruiting the people and having them be a Finger Lakes Health employee and making sure all those competencies are done, and that way your school can really just reap the benefits of this wonderful, wonderful asset.
Well, ladies, thank you very much for stopping in this morning. Greatly appreciated. Continued success.
Thank you so much.